Just like your GPS tells you which way to go, in this episode, I'm going to explain where video marketing was and where the smartest video marketers are headed.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hello. In this episode of Video Marketing Mastery, I want to tell you where this whole big ball of wax is headed. All right? So look, when we got started in back in the day when there wasn't even a name for video marketing, the conversation was often about creating great videos or about lighting or audio, right? And then smart marketers started recognizing that videos would fail online if you didn't have a very sound digital strategy. And I knew that from the beginning because I started in digital marketing and I didn't start as a video creator. I got to video because video was getting the best results. And then I used my digital strategy background to backdoor myself into video. And so I want to tell you where this whole thing is going and how you can start preparing yourself to be a really smart video marketing master. But first, let me share with you what I just got in the mail. Gift to sell for Christmas. It arrived. On Christmas morning, I was at my sister's house where my wife and I watched our niece and our nephew opening up their gifts. And my nephew was riding around the house in his Heelys. Do you know what Heelys are? They're those kids' shoes. They're like sneakers that have wheels in the back of them, back in the heels, hence the name Heelys. And they look like a ton of fun. You know, my brother-in-law, who's a doctor, he leaned over to me and said, when an orthopedic surgeon, you know, sees an 8-year-old riding around in Heelys, they see money. And sure enough, after an eggnog or two, good old Uncle Todd wanted to be cool uncle. And cool Uncle Todd went on to Amazon and bought himself a pair of adult Heelys. You know, I grew up in Manhattan Beach, California, riding skateboards and surfing, and Heelys looked like a ton of fun. And this week, they arrived at the office. So I tried them on, and I didn't even ride around in the office. I just kind of couldn't figure out the balance weight distribution issue. And let me tell you what I discovered. It's your front leg is all wheel, right? You're going to wheel off of the heel on your front leg, and then you're going to use your back leg to save you from busting open the back of your head. My wife, who was at the office, the crew was there. Christo, were you there when I started riding around the Heelys? It was kind of embarrassing, wasn't it?
I was scared. I was terrified. I thought that there might be an accident and an emergency room visit that day.
Yes. And quickly, my wife said, those things go back in the box. You are never to wear them again. Anyway, if you want to see a photo of cool Uncle Todd with his Heelys, just go to the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/57, right? Oh, you're going to love this story. December was a really busy month for the company. Our in-house video crew was booked all over the U.S. every December business day, but two, we were booked filming somewhere. And recently, the film crew for one client with two shoots, really 3 days, but two different cities, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast, for the same client. You know, the client's company had two different locations. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And we were creating a bunch of videos for them on both coasts, including a company overview video. So it was important to film at both of their locations. Well, like we do for every shoot, our team provided an email to the client so the client can repurpose it and send it out to their staff members before we arrived. And you know the kind of email that it says something like, on Wednesday, there's going to be a video production crew on property between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. Please dress professionally, respectfully, keep your voices down in the hallways, clean your desk areas, and proceed ahead, business as usual, or something like that, right? Well, unbeknownst to us, our client just forcefully bought one of the locations, and the staff that was working there, well, when they got the, you know, they got the email with that there was going to be a video production company filming, I take it that the staff was a bit pissed off about the acquisition because when our crew arrived on location, well, that facility's entire team protested their new employers by making our video shoot day their company wear your pajama day to the office, right? And just imagine my team's surprise when they arrived to film on property and all of the behind scenes footage had employees wearing pajamas. Yesterday, everyone in our office took their 23andMe genetic ancestry test. It was one of the gifts my wife and I gave to the team, and I'll post a couple photos on the show notes page for this episode of all of us taking our 23andMe test. It was a fun opportunity for us. We did a little filming. A really good opportunity. We're going to find out how this genetic test that we help spread the word on, how it looks at each of us and where we're all really from, as opposed to the stories that have been passed down and told to us. I'll be in San Francisco for the 35th annual J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference, January 9th through the 12th. I'll probably be recording our next podcast from there, so I'll bring you behind the scenes. And if you're going to be in town, reach out to me. I'd love to meet you and hear what you're working on. Now, that weekend, January 13th, I'll also be in Napa working with some of our clients' leadership teams, crushing some really nice red wine. And then we're going to be filming in Europe at the end of the month in Amsterdam. The Wirebuzz crew will be there for the European Cancer Conference. And so I will be there 24th through the 30th of January. Christo, you're going on that trip, right?
I'll be there.
Got your passport?
I have it. And it's about to expire, though, so it's time to renew. So this might be the last trip I can take on it.
Right. Well, we this year have a bunch of stuff booked, but Christo and myself, I snuck onto this trip. I'm probably not the normal member of the crew to go, but I've already shot 8,000 videos in my life, and I'm sure they'll let the boss tag along with them. All right, so let's get you caught up on the video marketing news that matters to you. Apple removes New York Times app in China. You know, bowing to China's demands, Apple has removed apps by the New York Times from its app store there. It's another reminder of the complicated issues that Silicon Valley tech companies face. By the way, there's a really interesting story about this in Silicon Beat, which is one of my favorite news sites. It goes on to say that the world's most populous nation, which of course is China, which most global companies can't afford to ignore, and the continued strengthening of what has become known as the Great Firewall of China. Quote, for some time now, the New York Times app has been permitted to display content to most users in China, and we've been informed that the app is in violation of our local regulations. Fred Sands of Apple, he's a spokesperson of Apple, told the NYT, otherwise known as the New York Times, and when this situation changes, the App Store will once again offer the New York Times for download in China. Now, look, you know, we used to value free speech. It used to be one of those really beautiful American qualities. Today, our political and tech leaders, you know, they only value free speech if it confirms their viewpoint. Free speech used to be a core principle that we proudly cherished because free and open expression has always been the first steps to self-governing, to determining your own future. And like Dante said, from a little spark may burst a mighty flame. And that's the way speech works when you're talking with a loved one or you're expressing yourself in public. And throughout the history of mankind, the simple act of free expression has broken down more shackles of tyranny for more people than any war or technology has ever created. Just look at the impact of Voice of America and Radio Free Europe. You know, the History Channel explains it this way. Voice of America began in 1942 as a radio program designed to explain American policies during World War II to help bolster the morale of its allies throughout Europe and Asia and the Middle East and Africa. And after the war, by the way, Voice of America, if you want to look at it, is kind of like the precursor for the internet, right? It was spreading open expression long before you had access digitally to any of that kind of stuff. And Voice of America continued as part of America's Cold War propaganda arsenal. In February of 1947, Voice of America began its first Russian language broadcast into the Soviet Union. The purpose was to give the Russian audience the pure and unadulterated truth about life outside of the USSR, just like the web should be providing in China. You know, my mom's second husband was born in Germany. If you're scoring along at home, my mom's now on her third marriage. And I vividly remember hearing her husband explain the value of Voice of America and how it was shaping his views about the world when he didn't have access to that information. And that's what's interesting to me when I hear that Apple was bowing to China's demands to remove the New York Times app from its app store there. You know, I understand that Apple's got a lot of complex foreign policy issues that it's got a tightrope if it wants to get its phones and its computers and its stupid earbuds that are wireless that are going to fall out and people are going to lose. If they want to make them in China, they've got to bow to those certain domestic requirements. I get it. But Apple's making a very similar move to remove U.S. conservative site Breitbart News app from its store, and it's clear that America's political and technology leaders don't believe in free speech the way we used to believe in it in this country. By the way, it doesn't matter to me if you're a liberal or a conservative, if you're a communist or a capitalist. What matters to me and the reason I surface this story is ultimately we should all want people to be able to make the best decisions for themselves, right? I mean, ultimately, that is the goal in life, right? And the only way that people can make the most informed decisions when you provide them to access to information, right? You never want to stifle people. You want people to grow. And so when I see a story like this, I think it's really about an opportunity to lift up mankind, to educate them, to give them an opportunity to hear a competing view. Oh my God, God forbid a competing view, what that would do for your worldview or a paradigm shift. So that's the path that I would hope that we would be using technology going forward. Access to information is always the most valuable. Facebook Live hit a record high on New Year's Eve. The San Jose Mercury News reports, quote, millions of Facebook users were posting live video on New Year's Eve, a record high for the social media company since it launched the tool to users in April 2016. The company said on Wednesday in a blog post, quote, as clocks struck midnight in each time zone, Facebook Live broke records that made this the biggest night since it launched, according to the post. Now, Silicon Beat, which is also run and operated by the San Jose Mercury News, reached out to Facebook and asked about precise numbers. But the tech firm, Facebook, declined to provide those numbers. I'm sorry, what? Facebook declined to share record-breaking numbers? But they created a post to say they hit an all-time record high? Well, that's odd. You know, normally people promote things that they're proud to brag about, right? So Facebook promoted the record-breaking event and then dodged requests for more information. For now, let's just file this away in an odd folder, okay? If we get more details about this down the road, we'll circle back. But it's odd. Who posts a press release about a breakthrough and then doesn't provide any all-time record high numbers? Odd. I really don't know what to make of that. I found an interesting story. There's something there. We'll figure it out down the road. All right, so interestingly, the East Coast had the highest number of Facebook Live broadcasts on New Year's Eve. By the East Coast, it's talking about like New York City. A graphic by Facebook I'll post on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/57. You'll find it interesting. You can kind of dig in. And so do you know why the East Side had more Facebook Live broadcasts on New Year's Eve? Because by the time other time zones got to ring in the new year, showing your countdown on Facebook kind of felt old. You know, left coasters like us, we watched the countdown play out over and over again on social. And when it was our turn to celebrate, well, either way, we were either, people were just either too hammered to remember to Facebook Live at that point, or it just wasn't the cool thing to do anymore because it's been played out. You know, we don't just download movies at faster rates today. Now trends peak and they dissolve at record pace. New Year's Eve, you were so last week. All right, again, if you want to see Facebook Live usage coverage on New Year's Eve from different locations all around the world, I posted a really interesting graph on the show notes page for you. Now, each week on Facebook's blog, they do something really cool. It's actually a really smart marketing tactic. They post the top 10 standout Facebook Live videos from the past week. So I'm going to go through this from number 10 down to number 1 and we're going to talk about them real briefly. All right, the number 10 event that happened on Facebook Live this week. Ahead of the New Year's Eve, the New York Times Live illustrated the words that viewers picked in the comments to guide them through 2017. The number 9th event, NBC rang in 2017 with live celebrations across the globe, including Greece, Russia, Germany, and England. No word yet if the Russian contribution was really just a hack. Number 8, the San Francisco 49ers went live as owner Jed York held a press conference. And he did that to address his decision on firing general manager Trent Blake and head coach Chip Kelly. Now, I think this is interesting. Chip Kelly has always been an innovator, right? The guy runs this like lightning offense, a real West Coast style offense. He dominated with it at Oregon. And then he gets to San Francisco and another groundbreaking thing happens. He gets fired and they hold the press conference live on Facebook Live. Number 7, the web team from The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon went live to try to hatch the toy of the holiday season. I don't know what that is, but number 6, former Grand Slam champion Anna Ivanovic announced her retirement from professional tennis in a heartfelt message to fans via Facebook Live. Number 5, the BBC took viewers live to their fireworks display in London to ring in 2017. Number 4, WFLA News Channel 8 and other publishers live streamed eagle eggs hatching from the Southwest Florida Eagle Cam. Riveting, right? That is how you celebrate freedom. Number 3, for the college football playoffs, several of the participating teams use Facebook Live to bring fans behind the scenes. Now let's just stop here for a moment. I love sports. I think sports is one of the best parts of being alive. You know, my dad said to me, I just love this. He said, sometimes the reason we watch sports is sometimes in the middle of the work week, we just need to scream a little bit in the living room for a good reason and to cheer and to clap and to believe. And that's what sports brings. But for businesses, check this out. So college football playoffs, the teams brought fans behind the scenes. Why can't businesses do that? You know, I'm a fan of a lot of brands, okay? And when they bring me behind the scenes, all of a sudden, I think that's pretty damn cool. So an example of this was I was at the car dealership recently, you know, getting my car lube oil filtered or something. And they brought me behind the scenes and showed me the unpacking of their latest cars that haven't been announced yet. I mean, that was super cool, right? But why not do that for people who follow your brand on social? So for the college football playoff series, fans went behind the scenes. Alabama football went live during the Peach Bowl media day, while Washington Husky fans went live before the kickoff at the Georgia Dome. Clemson football turned on Facebook Live multiple times, including for their on-field celebration after the Tigers defeated Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl. Number 2, Kevin Hart went live with his vacation on New Year's Eve to share his excitement for 2017. And the number 1 use of Facebook Live this week, the standout performance, CNN, went live to count down the new year from New York City. Your business takeaway? Anytime something's cool is happening in your office, or maybe you've got a speech that's happening that your followers would find interesting, or maybe you could give them a sneak peek to an unveiling of a new product, a new service, or take people along the journey as your company is developing something. Use it as an opportunity to bring your fans, like VIPs, behind the scenes, and they won't forget it. Oh, this is an interesting story. A former Snapchat employee alleged this week that the company has been faking its growth numbers in order to boost its value as it leads up to IPO when its stock becomes public, according to a lawsuit filed in LA Superior Court. By the way, LA courts have so many more important things to deal with, you know, like OJ stuff and celebrity stuff. Now you have to give them Snapchat, and the odds of of LA courts getting this right? Slim to numb. Really, the social network, it says, has been inflating its audience engagement numbers. Who would have thought, right? All right, well, Anthony Pompolino, and by the way, this has been a tough podcast for names, who was the company's growth lead at Snapchat, alleges that he was fired after just 3 weeks with the company because he refused to go along with Snapchat's plans of inflated audience metrics. Inflated audience metrics. Haven't we heard this before on this podcast with, well, we'll get to that. Mary Riddy, a spokeswoman for Snap Inc., which is Snapchat's corporate parent, said the suit is without merit. Quote, we reviewed the complaint, she said, and it has no merit. It's totally made up by a disgruntled employee. Look, as a business owner, I've witnessed disgruntled employees, you know, former employees claiming the most bizarre things, and it feels like every week on this podcast, I'm reporting on some social network inflating video view numbers or video watch times or ad engagement. So I'll add this story to our watch and report back on later folder, and we'll keep you up to speed on how this plays out for Snap and their IPO. Incidentally, if you want to place a prediction on the outcome of this story, please ping me on Twitter and I'll add your prediction in my next update on this topic. All right, sound good? Cool. Wirebuzz's Marcus Krieg, the big nerd, a frequent guest on this podcast, who leads our strategy team here in-house, is one of HubSpot's hub stars. And he'll be speaking at an upcoming Phoenix HubSpot user group on January 17th. The topic that Marcus is going to be talking about is how to rank on the first page of Google in 2017. Now, increased competition is raising the bar for both content quality and link quality. You know, when trying to rank in the search engines, you really have to balance both. And many content marketing thought leaders, such as Neil Patel, have been modifying their content strategies to meet the new challenges presented by rising competitions. It's something we've touched on in this podcast series. It's something that we talk about all the time with our clients in-house. Rising competition means you have to have a modified content strategy. Wirebuzz just got permission from HubSpot back in Boston, the big HQ. And at their office, they gave us the blessing to live stream Marcus Krieg's How to Rank on the First Page of Google, his presentation at the HubSpot user group. It's going to be on January 17th, 2017, from 3 to 5 o'clock. Yours truly will be in the audience. And so if you're not in the Phoenix area, and let's say you want to learn from really one of the best in the business, you're going to discover how to get more traffic by blogging less frequently, how to create great content that'll stand the test of time, methods for standing out from the crowd when performing link building and promotional outreach for your content, how to strike a balance between creating epic content for SEO and creating bite-sized content for sales enablement. All of that will be covered in Marcus's presentation. In Forbes this week, there was an interesting article, and what they did is they got successful agency executives, which they call the Forbes Agency Council, to predict which areas are best worth clients' time and money for 2017. And the number one area that businesses should invest their marketing dollars in is... All right, you guessed it. It's video, video, video. Now, here's what they say, quote, and this comes right out of the article in Forbes. It says, quote, video is far and away the winner when it comes to online marketing spend. Video can help increase conversion rates on landing pages by 80%. Video is also great for brand engagement on social media. And we've seen great success on Facebook as well, with an average video view costing less than... one penny. Now, there's a battle going on for attention. You know this as a listener of this podcast. You're way ahead of your competition because you already know you can't convince and convert people who aren't reading your information. People don't want to read. Reading feels like work. Don't make people work to learn about your business because they'll put it off. But video, on the other hand, like sending somebody a Snickers bar directly to their computer, they're going to take a break, and video does a significantly better job. Plus, there are printing press holdovers that aren't interested in learning a new trick as marketers, right? They're holdovers from a different era. And so keeping up with the rapidly evolving target customer is not something they're interested in doing. Don't let that person be a member of your team. Don't let that person be the one that's making the decisions. And as this year progresses, I'm going to take you along as video becomes an even more powerful tool for business. All right, so let's rewind for a moment to 6 years ago. Look, if you want your business to realize the full benefits of video as a marketing tool, step one is to always create a digital strategy. Your business goals will influence your strategy. The strategy will dictate your tactics. Tactics are going to influence the type of content that you create. Now, clearly, it's a foregone conclusion how vital it is for videos to be part of a broader digital strategy. But 9 times out of 10, when people's video projects fail to achieve their online goals, the Achilles heel, where everything just kind of falls apart, can be traced back to their lack of a digital strategy. And yet, so many marketers continue to just wing it. And you never really would build a house without an architect's blueprint. And you should never create videos for your business without a digital strategy. And that's why when I built my video marketing agency, I made sure to create 3 in-house teams of specialists. The first is the strategy team. Then comes creation. And after creation, it's followed by promotion, all right? The first people the client meets is the digital strategy team. They're the biggest tactical, strategic nerds you're ever going to meet. And when strategy is completed, the strategy gets handed off just like an architect's blueprint gets given to the contractors, and they use it when they start building, right? And then the video production team bakes in the client's strategy into the video script, the storyboard, the animation, and the call to action. And when that's completed, the promotion team takes that same strategy, executes it online, and helps the client reach their needle in a haystack and educate that target customer. Now, let's fast forward back to the present. And now in 2017, you should become very comfortable with the next step in the process. It all builds. It's like sediment, right? First, it was about strategy and great videos. But now it's about getting comfortable, really comfortable, and guaranteeing your videos get ROI. And the return on investment is where the focus needs to be for really smart marketers. Because creating a strategy and creating a great video, those are givens now. Where does this ball go next, right? Where's this industry and this topic of video marketing leading us all down? And the smartest video marketers are comfortable growing a business's revenues through the strategic use of video. And so over this year, on this podcast, to help you stay 3 years ahead of your competitors, I'm going to start sharing with you where video marketing masters are headed next. And that's guaranteeing your videos generate ROI. Cool? Cool with that? All right. And if you get too far ahead, and maybe you need to back up a little bit, please don't hesitate to either ask a question. You can reach out to me on Twitter, LinkedIn, or you can also go back and listen to some of these earlier podcast episodes, because just like sediment, we're building each week on top of the next. And just like I promised last week, if you follow me on Twitter this week, I'm going to send you a private personal video. And I made that promise last week, and many of you just barraged me with new follows. Just like at Brie Bauer did when she said, quote, "Todd, heard your podcast, wanted to test if you really would send me a video response, looking forward to hearing more from you." And, you know, I had a lot of fun creating those videos and reaching back out to each of you. I want to make a personal engagement. I want to develop relationships. That's part of the value of video over text. And if you follow me and don't get a personal video back from me, please heckle me, all right? It's great motivation. And I'll probably crank out a video for some really random place, like in the middle of my lunch somewhere. Hey, if you want to get access to the show notes for this episode, like for example, let's say you want to look at some of the news stories, or maybe all of the news stories that I referenced, they're all linked there. Just go to wirebuzz.com/57. An easy way to remember 57 is, of course, Heinz 57, which is a brand of sauce. You already know that. Wikipedia says, 57 is the number of varieties of food claimed to be produced by H.J. Heinz Company. Wirebuzz.com/57. If you want to know where to get started with your own business's video marketing, You know where I'm headed, right? I'm headed towards profitability. We're long past the time where you just create videos because you want to entertain people, or these are business tools, damn it. They need to generate ROI. So we created a topic selection worksheet that's absolutely free only to the listeners of this podcast, and you can access it at wirebuzz.com/topics with an S on the end, and it'll help you walk through the thought process that you need to select the video topics that'll be profitable for your business. Wirebuzz.com/topics. You know, this is going to be a big year for all of us, and I know it's going to be a big year for you. My goal and my team's goal here at Wirebuzz is to share information that's going to make you really a great marketer. But more than that, we want you to be profitable, to generate an ROI, to grow a business, to enrich the lives of the people that come in contact with your business. So this year, as we proceed ahead, we're going to keep our eye on the ball. And that's, how do you use this tool, the most powerful tool on the internet, to generate and guarantee ROI? Because once you start learning how to do that, your business and your profitability is going to go up. And that's where all the goodness and the fun happens. And we're going to be really honored to be part of that journey with you. If you've got any questions, we are totally approachable. Feel free to hit me up. I got a really nice email. I got a couple of them this week, but one last night while I was watching the University of Arizona men's basketball game just beat up on Utah, I got this email about one of our listeners that has listened to all of our podcasts. He's a cancer survivor and just wanted to reach out and thank us for the show. And he says, by the way, I'm also a big fan of your show. And to Dan, man, I really appreciate it. It lifted up my spirits, and I'm hoping to be there so I can advise and guide all of you that have questions along the way. Don't forget to reach out to us, all right? So we'll be back next week with another episode of Video Marketing Mastery. And as we do that, we get to look for really cool video marketing stories. I mean, there's a ton of them now. It's like Forbes is pushing out video marketing news every day. Not all of it good enough to get on this podcast, but literally Forbes and Entrepreneur had a great article this week, and we're just going to sift through it, and we're going to digest that information. We're going to bring it back to each and every episode, and we're also going to show you what the practical business use case is and how you can use it to move the needle with your business. And we'll continue to do that so you could be the smartest person in your office, right? Okay, check this out. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Play and iTunes. Just go up there. Make sure you subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. Give us a rating and review. It means the world to us. And literally, this is the most fun I get to work on every single day. Hey, somebody who just followed me on Twitter just sent me a reply back to a video that I sent them. Because remember, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to send you a personal video, and I'm going to reach out to you. And just right now, as I'm doing this wrap-up sentence, I got a message from Damon on Twitter that said, "That's a nice touch." Well, look, we use video because it makes really personal connections, right? And people do business with people they have relationships with. Damon, perfect timing, my man. I really appreciate it. And we will do this each and every week right here at Video Marketing Mastery.